Good evening. This is an interview for the Michigan Writer Series, Friday, February 11th, 2001. Tonight I'm talking with poet and author Jeff Vandy Zandy, a professor of English at Delta College, who teaches composition, technical communication, and creative writing, in addition to publishing his own creative and academic works. Welcome to MSU, Mr. Vandy Zandy.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
When it comes to literature, what would you say you are first and foremost? Are you a teacher or a writer?
I would say both, and both inform each other. I mean, the students keep me working. Anytime I teach a fiction class, I always put myself in their position. I start a new story the same time they're starting a new story, and I'm always, right, you know, learning from that. So I think both. I think if I weren't teaching, I would still be writing, but I would be a lot hungrier because I wouldn't be making any money.
So one kind of feeds off the other.
Right. Yeah, they definitely fuel each other. And a lot of times I'll be in a lull and I'll start a class and kind of, like the students, force myself to find something, and sometimes it ends up being one of my best stories.
You know? Oh, that's great.
So, yeah.
So they help you kind of generate ideas at times.
Oh, definitely.
As well.
Definitely. Because what I'm asking them to do, I kind of ask myself to do too, because a lot of them, the class starts and they have no idea, you know, what they could possibly write about. And I try to get them delving into incidents from their past that they can turn into fiction. I think there's a little bit of fact in all of my fiction, that some image from it is something I experienced, but then I change it, you know, so it's relevant to the main character or whatever they're going through. But that way the images are authentic, even though it probably didn't happen that way necessarily,
right,
or that character wasn't involved. But yeah.
Since you began by writing mostly poetry, but you've moved on to short stories and some, mm-hmm, longer works, do you prefer writing one versus the other, poetry versus short stories or longer works?
When something's cooking, I enjoy whatever is, you know, either genre. I think poetry is easier for me because I've been doing it longer. But more things are just coming to me as stories. And a lot of my, I've been told that a lot of my poems are very narrative. So I think I've always,
right,
been writing stories while writing the poems. But I don't prefer either. It kind of goes by the year too. Like this, I don't know what yet, but this summer when I have more time off, I plan to start another novel. Last summer I wrote a novella. The summer before that, my first novel. So longer works then. And then however it comes to me, I'll get an image, see something, and it usually tells me pretty quickly if it's going to be a poem or a short story. But more often than not now, and I think partly from teaching the fiction class every semester, I'm just kind of in that mode. So, but I'd taken a year off from poems, and just this past fall I wrote three that kind of, one after the other, came to me, and I'm actually going to read from them tonight.
Oh, great. Yeah. Do you find any more, one more challenging than the other, or are they about the same?
I think fiction is still more challenging for me right now. I'm still working on the nuances. You know, I've developed an ability to keep my poems subtle so they're not heavy-handed, but I think sometimes my fiction still is pushing its message a little bit more than, you know, not artistically. Sometimes I've been told by editors, you know, this is kind of heavy-handed, or it's kind of clear what you're trying to, too clear what you're trying to go for with this ending. And so I'm working on trying to keep the endings a little bit more subtle, a little more artistic. But so I think that's why I stay at the stories more, is I enjoy the challenge of writing new ones. And I'm sure most people would say poetry is harder. So I might just have a skewed idea of how good I am at poetry. Maybe the stuff I'm writing now isn't that good, but when I write it, it feels like it's done, and it's been pretty well received. So
that's good. Yeah, I think it certainly has. You mentioned your experiences. How have they come into your writing? Or I'm thinking of especially in Emergency Stopping, a lot of the stories in that collection, your characters had very kind of blue-collar jobs, and mm-hmm, they were finding themselves in new job experiences. And how have your work experiences helped you construct those characters?
I think almost every character who has a job in that book, I've done the job. Okay. You know, the first story calling is about a telemarketer.
Right.
And I worked as a telemarketer. So it's, again, for authentic detail, I'm not Danny at all. I wish I were actually more like him because he's a pretty altruistic character. I mean, I think that's his biggest conflict is he wants to be altruistic in a world that doesn't really encourage altruism very much.
Right.
But I've done most of the jobs in there. Although, again, there's a story in there about a priest, and I've never been a priest. But I think work is in there. I think it's in Rogers City. There's a cement factory or something. That's what happens to be the layoff that's going on in town. And I'm drawing from my experiences from the UP when the iron ore mines would have layoffs, how much it impacted. It never impacted me, but relatives of ours who lived in Ishpeming near the mines, you know, it really changed their lives when there would be a layoff. I mean, the anxiety, and you would, you know, even at 12 or 13, you would pick up snatches of things, and you pick up on the feeling that some of the adults there were anxious. That's what their talk would be about. So, yeah, I think there's probably not a scene in there, or every story has at least one scene where I could say, you know, this is from my life. The scene in Trainee, it takes place in a pizza place, and I worked in a pizza place, and the scene that my students are disgusted to hear actually happen was the guy cutting pizzas and sweat dripping from his forehead onto the pizzas. But he was really I still remember the guy. He was just really anxious to do a good job, you know, and he going fast, even if that meant sweating, was what he thought was doing a good job. So, yeah, I definitely draw from my experiences, and I think they get a little weaker as I branch out more. But I do research for my fiction, too, to make sure that if I am doing something, I'm keeping it authentic. But I didn't do any research on the priest, so I don't know whether or not I capture what, you know, I have him working at his desk, kind of working on the bills and whatnot, but it might be kind of a cliched vision of what a priest does. So again, once I get out of my comfort zone, they can be good and it can be bad. I'm working on a story right now. I remember being 12 years old, our friends of ours had a pop-up camper that their parents kept popped up in the summer. All summer long for us to do, you know, sleepovers and just hang out. And they were near an overpass. And I remember one night we heard a loud crash and we got up and went down to the overpass and we were looking over the edge and it was all, you know, lit up on the shoulder of the road from paramedics and whatnot. And they opened the door and she kind of just spilled out onto the road. It was the first time I'd seen a dead body. And I'm exploring that in a story right now, but the image is true, but instead I have a guy who is sleeping in the guest room. His wife has just recently told him that they've been married 6 years, and she just recently told them that 6 months into their marriage she had an affair. And she's telling him because she thinks they're trying to have a baby and she wants, you know, to be pure with him. It's not that she doesn't love him, she just believes he should know. So that's his conflict when he hears the crash sound through the guest room window, because along with us going down there, many neighbors came out of their houses when they heard the sound. It was a hot night, people were sleeping with their windows open. So what I tried to imagine was, well, what were they bringing to that accident with them? I mean, I can't remember anymore what it was like to be 12 years old and see a dead body. I would probably do some kind of cliched kind of thing if I did that. But trying to imagine my students have argued that you can't recover from an affair, because some of the stories we read, they have these male characters who have an affair and then they're trying to reconcile with their wives, and a lot of my female students say he would be gone no matter what he does. You can't recover from an affair. And I said, well, don't you think there are marriages out there that have recovered from affairs? And so I'm trying to write, I don't know, I'm on about page 6 and he's just left his house and he's at the accident scene right now, and I don't know exactly what epiphany he's going to have. I still don't know if he's going to go back to his wife, or if something about the scene will jar him in the other direction. But that scene is still very clear in my mind, so I know what he's seeing when he's looking down through that fence that they have on the bridges of overpasses. So Long answer.
Oh, no, that's good. Thank you. You mentioned the UP and some of the places you've lived also. How has, obviously you write a lot of Michigan in your stories. Mm-hmm. How has your experience living in Michigan kind of affected, influenced your writing?
I think Michigan is kind of a, I mean, I'm sure every state is, but it's very rich in geography. It's juxtaposition of farmland versus city, industry, the downfall of industry, how it's affected cities. So there's a lot to deal with. Another thing that I, you have transient there in front of you,
right.
All of those poems are about driving. And if you're going to write about driving in Michigan, you're going to eventually write about the idea of going north, because that's such a big part of our mythology too. You know, you escape whatever your problems are and head up to your cabin or take a camper or whatever you do. So I explore that idea quite a bit, the idea of going north. And obviously if you're going to write about driving in Michigan, there's a lot of winter
right.
driving poems in there, and the altruism that can bring out in people or fail to bring out when you see someone broken down on the side of the road or off the road in a ditch or whatever. What do you, you know, a lot of times my characters in my poems are in kind of moral dilemmas. Do you keep on keeping on, or do you stop and help the person? And what's more important, you know, to arrive on time to your 9 o'clock meeting, or do you arrive at 9:45 but tell the boss, you know, there was a guy down the ditch and I stopped to help him? And would that excuse even be tolerated? You know?
Right.
So, yeah, Michigan, I don't keep all the stories authentic. I have a few poems that take place in, along the ocean, because my in-laws have a condo in Alabama right on the Gulf. So any place where I feel comfortable that I'm writing real, but I couldn't set a story in Texas or California very
right.
easily, because I wouldn't know what I was talking about.
Exactly.
So it's, and plus I think it's just rich to write about Michigan. It's a unique state.
And of course you have to write the bits of construction too in there, and those the pieces of about construction.
Yeah.
Of course,
if you drive in Michigan long, you're definitely going to end up in a construction zone. They're already coming down on I-75 tonight. There's, you know, already they even promised like way in advance, like to get you ready. You know, there will be
right.
construction from I think it was March to November. They're planning some big construction, and I mean, to tell you that much in advance, I think those signs have been up for like 3 months, but it's like they're like preparing
oh
you. They don't want to spring it on you, but they get you ready for it.
Right. And that is so much a part of Michigan, you're right.
Yeah.
Nature also plays a big part in your poetry, like fishing and the outdoors. What is it that you like about the outdoors so much that influences and works itself into your works?
Well, I think it's rich in imagery. It's just like driving is rich in imagery. I love the look of a dashboard with the, you know, the green light, tail lights, headlights, all kinds of possible images. How the road changes when you go for, you shift from the day to the night, and the same with nature. But a lot of my characters are seeking something in nature too.
Right.
They don't always find it, but they often bring their problems to nature, and sometimes it serves as an elixir. Sometimes it's just an escape, and they go back, and the problems are there. But sometimes, on the river fishing or sitting in their hunting blind or whatever, they figure something out that they needed to. But I also think in some ways the story I'm going to read tonight deals with how sometimes that can be a selfish act too, the desire to get away. But yeah, and it's just growing up in the UP, it was a big part of my life too. My dad was a fisherman and a partridge hunter, so I often went with him. But you think differently, you know, it clears your mind. When I'm fly fishing, I'm just living in that moment. I'm in the river. The only thing, although I have all kinds of problems, sometimes for like an hour, I'll feel guilty when I realize it's like, man, an hour has passed and I haven't even thought of my wife or my family or money or anything. And then yeah, tell yourself, and that's okay. That's why we're here. You know, we're not here just to dwell. We're here to have a reprieve. So.
And you're very much focused, yeah, on yourself then. And
right, which
can
be
very alone.
Good and
yes.
sometimes bad. You know, it just depends. But I think it's a big part of Michigan too. I mean,
right.
I deal with a lot of, you know, blue collar workers, as you say, and a lot of them, the dream is get a place up north, get out in the woods, you know, get away from the factories, get away from all the cement and so forth. So that's in there. I'm much happier in my job and life than many of my characters are. But the idea of work had a pretty profound effect on me. You know, it's one of my collections of poetry is called Last Name First, First Name Last. And I think it's one of the kind of aspects of work you are asked, even from the first moment you start filling out an application, to reverse who you are. Since we're going to be paying you money, you have to do what we tell you to do. And that even means go against, even if it's counterintuitive, to put your last name first. That's what you're going to do if you want a job here. I mean, if you said, you know, you ignored it and put, you know, Jeff and as Andy, they might, is the guy an idiot? I mean, right. It says last name first, first name last. So why can't he do that even? So, I mean, your work is I think work is one of the first times where we encounter moral dilemmas. And what's on the line is money. If you're not if you don't go along with the company way, you know, you stand to lose the job and everything that becomes connected to the job, the car you own, the house you own, the college your kids go to. I mean, losing a job is a huge problem and dilemma in many people's lives. I mean, many people live at that kind of subsistence level. Their job is everything. And also to them, often nothing. They get nothing out of it other than, where's the paycheck? I mean, right. Teaching at a community college, I meet non-traditional students all the time in their 40s who say, I wish when I were 18 I would have done this. But they realize, too, that they hadn't had the life experiences yet that made college seem a must. So.
Right. Well, you mentioned some of the stories that you're currently working on. What other projects that... you see coming out in the future we can expect from you?
Well, like I said, I'd like to start a second novel.
Okay.
But I have no idea what it is yet. I just did a little sketch for my students. I was showing them how dialogue works, so I was just kind of doing this fake dialogue between these two characters just to show them how indentation works and different ways to attribute who is speaking and whatnot. And as I was writing it, kind of free from this idea that I have to also develop a conflict. A conflict was developing just in the nature of their conversation. And I don't know if their story is going to end up being a short, like something under 750 words, or if I'm going to take them and expand them into something longer. But on the horizon right now is I'm just kind of open to what comes to me. I'd like some poem ideas to come to me. And I just finished one short story that I think is pretty terrible. It's been a while since I've had one that I've just finished and rewrote the whole thing again. And again, as soon as I hit that final period, I knew this is garbage, you know, and I don't know how to save it. But that's why I started I think I'm much more interested in now the one about the car accident under the overpass. It's partly, I think I knew what I was doing in that other story. And I think if you have too clear of a plan of what you're trying to accomplish with the writing, that it actually goes, it's like having an outline and it's not allowing for any creativity or discovery. Where this one, again, I've got the guy at the overpass, I'm on page 6, and I still don't know how the thing's going to end. I'm still trying to figure him out, so.
When do you find the time to write along with your teaching?
Well, I make the time. I usually write from about 10, and if it's going well, till about 1 in the morning.
Wow.
And I'll do it for 3 nights in a row, and then I'll, you know, have to go to bed at like 9 o'clock and catch up on some sleep. As I'm getting older, it's getting harder to do, but that's where I find my time right now. If I've got something cooking, then I can work on it at work a little bit, but between students and papers, I have to kind of separate my 3 roles. And
right.
Of the 3, family's the priority, then work, and then, you know, the writing. But I write at least every week. So I don't, you know, I'll sit down, I'll probably write tonight when I get home from this. But I might get a paragraph but I'll have felt I did something.
As long as you get something.
Yeah, get some words down.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Vandy Zandy, for participating in the MSU Libraries Michigan Writer Series, and good luck with your reading tonight.
Well, thank you very much.
You.